Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker Trent Horn. Today we're talking about historical heists, strange and unusual things that have been pilfered, thieved, taken in strange and unusual ways. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. That's important. That's the main purpose of the podcast, of course. But we need to have a little bit of fun, too. Stretch our wings a little bit. Talk about something interesting before the weekend hits. And that's what Free for All Friday is for. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Historical heists. I really enjoy heist films, by the way. I remember when I first saw Ocean's 11 when it came out with George Clooney and company. That was back in 2001. Ocean's 11, and that's about a Las Vegas casino robbery. It's actually a remake of an older film from 1960 that involved members of the Rat Pack. So you have Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. And it's a big deal to have all these, you know, famous people in one movie. And they do the same thing with Ocean's 11. And then after that, you have Ocean's 12. I think Julia Roberts was in that one, right? It's forgettable. I did not like Ocean's 12 at all. I don't think anybody did. Ocean's 13 was pretty good. Ocean's 13, I think they really got back on track with that, back to the main four of the genre. Then I think they did a remake with all women that, what was that, Ocean's 8, maybe? Oh, that was terrible. But let's get back to what really matters here, the heists. Very unusual stories, things that I want to share with you. This first one sounds like it could come out of a film or a novel, because it sort of did. This would be the Baker Street robbery. So the Baker Street robbery took place in London. So this took place at the safety deposit boxes at the Baker Street branch of Lloyds Bank in London, September 11th, 1971. So what's interesting about this robbery, how they got in to get the safety deposit boxes, was they dug a tunnel. The robbers dug a tunnel 40 feet from a rented shop two doors away to come up through the floor of the bank vault. The value of the property stolen is unknown, but is likely to have been between 1.25 and 3 million pounds. Only 231,000 pounds of money and valuables were later recovered by the police. The burglary was planned by Anthony Gavin, a career criminal who was inspired by The Red-Headed League, a Sherlock Holmes short story in which criminals tunnel into a bank vault from the cellar of a nearby shop. So we have an example of life imitating art here. You got to be careful when you come up with things for your fiction that people might get some bad ideas from it. Gavin and his colleagues rented Le Sac, a leather goods shop two doors from the bank, and tunneled during weekends, which makes sense because it's weekend, people aren't working, they're not going to hear you doing a lot of this stuff. The interior of the vault was mapped out by one gang member using an umbrella and the span of his arms to measure the dimensions and location of the furniture. The gang initially tried to use a jack to force a hole in the vault floor. Later, they had to use a thermal lance and then explosives to blast their way through. Once inside, they emptied the 268 safety deposit boxes. They had a lookout on a nearby roof in contact with them via walkie-talkie to keep everything, you know, be on alert or the police coming. Which, by the way, this is also reminding me a little bit of Die Hard 3. That is a great, if you think about it, the Die Hard movies are action movies, but they're also basically heist films, if you think about it. Die Hard 1, they're trying to steal the bearer bonds in Nakatomi Plaza. You just want money? What kind of terrorists are you? Whoever said that we were terrorists? I love Hans Gruber in the original Die Hard. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. Listen to me, Mr. McClane. Oh, it's a great one. But Die Hard 1, Die Hard 3, they break into the bank. That was a good one. Once again, it's so funny. The second sequel, meh. Die Hard 2, they're trying to steal a prisoner who's going to the airport at Dulles. It's kind of a heist, so not really. Die Hard 1, they're trying to get money. Die Hard 3, with Samuel L. Jackson in it, alongside Bruce Willis, which makes it for an awesome co-pairing, they're trying to steal the gold at the Federal Reserve. Oh, I should have said spoiler alert. The movie's been out forever. You'll still enjoy it. Because they send McClane out on a wild goose chase, and then they have this elaborate plan to blow up the subway, to disable the alarms, to get in with bulldozers, to steal all the gold from the Federal Reserve. So it reminds me of that a little bit, this tunneling and all this, what they're doing. So they had this guy, you know, on walkie-talkie to act as a lookout, but an amateur radio enthusiast, Robert Rowlands, heard this happening, and he called the police to let them know about the robbery, and the police did not believe him. I love this is the 1970s. You know, you're probably just on a bad trip. We're not going to believe what you're talking about here. So he actually recorded it on a cassette recorder to prove what was happening, but it was too late. They came to get them, and they had gotten away. However, at the end of October 1971, police arrested Wolf, Gavin Reg Tucker, and Thomas Stevens, who were involved in it. They continued to search for other members of the gang, including one woman, for 5 years, but no further arrests were made. Three of the men were later sentenced to 12 years in prison. So they were able to arrest some members of the gang, but not all of them, and so they got away with most of the cash. So one of the earliest tunnel operations there. Here's the next one, the 2011 maple syrup heist from Canada. There's a lot of things in Canada that are very important to the Canadians, you know, being polite, hockey, and of course, maple syrup. Maple syrup is literally a national treasure to Canadians. I'm not kidding. It is treated as a valuable commodity like gold because it's so valuable that it's produced from the maple trees up in Canada, of course. So they keep it in a, they have a strategic reserve of the maple syrup to ensure it has a steady price index and, you know, and all of that. So it says here that over the course of several months in 2011 and 2012, a team of thieves stole approximately 2,700 tons of maple syrup from a strategic reserve in Quebec. The theft has been popularly dubbed the Great Maple Syrup Heist. At the time of the heist, the stolen maple syrup was valued, so 2,700 tons of this stuff was valued at $18 million. The heist may be one of the largest thefts in Canadian history. Richard Valeriz was accused as the ringleader of the theft. Valeriz allegedly had a reputation in the world of maple syrup producers as a barrel roller. Someone's got to make a movie about, it's like a mob movie, but it's just about maple syrup, basically. Someone who found ways around the tightly regulated controls and supply management in Canada. He learned of the strategic reserve and from someone who was the spouse of the co-owner of the warehouse. And so they were going in and stealing it, and they stole it slowly, one at a time. And they would refill the barrels. They would empty a barrel of maple syrup. They did this slowly, you know, at a time, barrel by barrel. They would drain it of the maple syrup and refill it with water until eventually somebody who was doing a security check opened up one of these barrels and saw that it was filled with water, not with maple syrup. I'll also say that eventually the thieves got lazy and they stopped replacing the barrels with water and just left them empty, which caused in July 2012 an inspector who found one of the empty barrels. So he started climbing up to do the inspections, and he almost fell and thought like a 600-pound barrel was going to like fall, but he realized, oh wait, this is empty. And that prompted the investigation. Later in December 2012, 17 men were arrested in connection with the theft. All right, the next one up is the theft of the golden toilet, the mystery of a missing 18-karat gold toilet from Winston Churchill's birthplace has finally been flushed out. Why did Winston Churchill have a golden toilet? He did not. It was the palace where he was born was serving as an art exhibition, and there was this piece, the golden toilet. Its value valued at about $6 million. It's an art piece by the Italian conceptual artist Maurizio Cattelan called America. The fully functioning toilet, which is a nod to its namesake's country's excessive wealth. Give me a break. But it was part of an exhibition in Blenheim Palace, the mansion where Winston Churchill was born, but it vanished overnight in September of 2019. It still has not been found, but later the Crown Prosecution Service brought charges against four men for the theft. So the golden toilet, I don't know. I don't think it's actually been recovered, but if you come across a golden toilet, you know where to return it to. Here's the next one, a 2008 case, the church heist. All right. Wanted, one missing Russian church, says in this article. Last seen in July of 2008, reward for its return. Eastern Orthodox officials in a central Russian region say an abandoned church building that was to be put back into use has been stolen by local villagers. Orthodox priest Vitaly of Ivanova, Voskreneskaya, my Russian is terrible. Diocese said officials last saw the two-story Church of the Resurrection intact in late July. Sometime in early October, however, people from the nearby village of Komarovo, I would not be a good infiltration agent in Russia. Northeast of Moscow, and I believe that's pronounced Moscow, not Moscow. Moscow? I better quit while I'm behind. They dismantled the building. So the nearby villagers buy this Eastern Orthodox church. It was supposed to be put back in use, a bit abandoned. They ended up stealing the whole church one brick at a time. The villagers sold it to a local businessman, 1 ruble per brick, about 4 cents. Vitaly said, Orthodox priests, I guess, use only one name, it says here. Of course, this is blasphemy. These people have to realize they committed a grave sin, and the police were investigating the theft. So if you are building your outdoor barbecue and you have some suspicious-looking bricks that smell of Central Russia, maybe you should return them and get the church back in working order. All right, here's the last one. Another toilet case, the Van Gogh toilet case. April 23rd, 2003, Manchester's Whitworth Art Gallery discovered that 3 famous paintings by Vincent Van Gogh, Pablo Picasso, and Paul Gauguin were missing, valued at an estimated $8 million. The heist was somewhat comically dubbed the Louvre. So Louvre, of course, another word for bathroom. Louvre, the Louvre, is the famous museum in Paris. There's 3 famous museums in Paris, the Louvre, the Orsay, and Le Pompidou. The Louvre is 17th century art and earlier, so ancient and medieval and early modern. 18th and 19th centuries at the Orsay, and 20th century art is at Le Pompidou. Le Pompidou is just the worst. The art is like a tire on the floor. Modern art is dumb. The Louvre is cool, but I actually prefer the Orsay. So they call this the Louvre heist, because later these $8 million paintings, they were just found in a local public toilet, local bathroom. They were in the corner of a graffiti-adorned damp building. The police found the paintings rolled up in a soggy cardboard tube. Alongside it was a note from the thieves stating the following: "We did not intend to steal these paintings, just to highlight the woeful security." The paintings were slightly damaged, but soon were returned to the gallery walls. The thieves have never been found. So, okay, at least they weren't in it for the money, but it's like, you could have just broken in, rearranged the paintings, and done something silly. You didn't have to damage these works of art here. But I appreciate they were at least weren't motivated by greed. But still, the great toilet heist of 2003 still has not been solved. So there you are for your eclectic knowledge, some great heists. There's been other great heists as well. Maybe we'll revisit them in a future Free for All Friday. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.